I just really feel prompted today, and it's really just confirmed in communion and in some of the prayers that have been offered this morning, in talking about the invisible army. And if you've got your Bibles, just flick through to 2 Kings 6, and we're just going to talk from that scripture. And just, I pray this morning is a word of encouragement. So let's just pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity that we have. Lord, I thank you that my mouth is your instrument this morning, and that my heart is open to share what you, Holy Spirit, just want to impart into us this morning. So, Father, thank you for this time. Holy Spirit, just move amongst us and prompt us, and just, Lord, bring that revelation where it is needed into our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, if you've been on the journey of life for a while, you tend to come across times that are exciting and things are happening, and you know, it's almost like people call it that hilltop or mountain experience. But then, as you're well aware, oftentimes there's the valley experience, isn't there? There's the times where things aren't going well, things are stale, things just seem like hard work. And you know, especially on a morning like this morning where it's foggy outside, although Fid reckons he loves the foggy mornings, but you know, you just look out the window and it's foggy and it's dreary and you think, ah, I'm just going to stay in bed all day. Who's had those days? Yeah, good. Because that's life. Life is up and down. Life is, you know, we'd like to think that life is just a flat plane, but it's not. You know, flat planes are nice, but sometimes they're boring, aren't they? You know, who's ever travelled the hay plains? I mean, it's nice and smooth and, you know, the car cruises along quite well, but it's boring after a while. You know, but who likes driving around through, like, Macquarie Pass and all those places? Why? Because, you know, there's ups and downs. Yeah, sometimes the going's easy, but sometimes it's tough as well. But the journey is more exciting and more adventurous. And I love adventure. I don't know about you, but I love the excitement. And that's what I love about my Christian walk, the excitement of the journey, the adventure of what God's called us to. And I just love that about my Christian walk and about following God. And, you know, when we read the Bible, we see the stories of many people who are on that adventure with God. You know, and one of them is in 2 Kings 6. And we're just going to read there for a moment. So if you've got it there, verse 11, and we're just going to read through to 17 and then just pick some points out of that. So verse 11 says, "This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, 'Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?' 'None of us, my lord, the king,' as said one of the officers. 'But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go, find out where he is,' the king ordered, 'so I can send men and capture him.' The report came back, 'He is in Dothan.' Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those that are with them.' And Elisha prayed, 'Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." You see, this is a situation we can probably just connect with. They woke up one day, Elisha and his servant, and they saw themselves surrounded by the enemy. You know, I've been there many times myself, and it's not in a sense like this, but it's in a sense of you just feel like life is too close, it's closing in on you, it's almost claustrophobic. There's things happening in your life, whether you know it's in your social life, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's within your family. You just think that, you know, why am I going through this? Why is life tough? Why does the enemy seem to have me surrounded? You know, I can't see my way out of this. And there are seasons in life like that. And, you know, you might be in one of them right now. But I want to say, take heart. Because those that are for us are more than those that are against us. Amen? And this season, even as churches, we can face that. Even as a group of people, we can face those ups and downs, just like there are seasons in the year. You know, there are many times where we just see things happening as a church, you know, salvation, people are coming to Christ, people are being discipled, people are being baptized, the Word of God is just seeming to just lift the community. And then at times, even as a church, we seem to have those dry patches where it just seems like the hard slog. And I'm sure you're aware of those, just as we have over in Griffith. And so, you know, we can either stay there and scratch our heads and just wondering what's happening, or we can just be full of praise of God. You know, God is with us all the time, isn't He? And it's a declaration of our mouth, not just in the good times, but in the times where life doesn't seem to be going that well, that we just need to keep walking by faith. So in this situation with Elijah and his servant, the servant was looking at his circumstance through his natural eyes, where Elisha was walking in faith. He'd learned to walk in faith because he'd walked with Elijah, a man of faith. And Elisha had caught some of that. And he knew that he wasn't alone. He knew that his walk with God, even though it was something that at times he couldn't see with his natural eyes, was something that was firm in his heart. He had that understanding. He knew who God was, and he knew who he was and who he was called to be. Now, does that sound like a familiar message? I'm sure it's been preached many times here in this church, that our identity needs to be rock solid. Because if we rely on our identity based on our emotion, based on what we do, based on our titles or positions, that roller coaster is going to make us throw up, isn't it? The highs and the lows are just going to wear us out. But if we have that understanding of identity, if we know I am called by God, and first and foremost, I am His child. That's who I am. I know that in my heart. I can walk with that in the highs and in the lows. I understand that. Then some of those peaks and troughs will start to even out a little bit. When we're in those times of praise, we sing the songs of victory. But when we're in those times where life is tough, sometimes our confession is, Lord, where are you? Oh no, I'm being surrounded, just like that servant. But the Word tells us He never leaves us nor forsakes us. We understand that. We've heard it many times. But it does have practical application, doesn't it? These words that we learn from the Bible at some point in our life need that practical application. And it's in these times of dryness, in these times of hardship, that these practical applications of the Word of God becomes real in our life. Just like the prophet Elisha. He saw the practical application of God's protection upon his life in that situation. Let's face it, Elisha was in a pickle. In the natural, it seemed he was gone for all money. His servant certainly thought so, began to panic. His courage was lost until his eyes were open to see the true nature of what was happening in that situation. You know, one of these things that really struck out and have struck me about Elisha's situation was that he found himself under attack, not because he was out of the will of God. Yeah, that's one of the first things, if we're honest with ourselves. If things aren't going right, we start to think to ourselves, what am I doing wrong? Come on, let's be honest, don't we? We think, God, why am I in this situation? Am I not doing something right? You know, is it? And it's not that sense that we're being punished. I think we're more mature in our faith than that. But it's just that sense of, Lord, could I be doing something better? Is there something I'm missing in this situation that I need to improve on? But see, Elisha wasn't in his situation because of what he was doing wrong. He was actually in the center of what God was asking him to do. He was fulfilling the call of God in his life at that very moment, proclaiming God's word, and yet in that he found himself in a predicament where he seemed to be surrounded by his enemies. It's interesting, isn't it? Right there in the middle of it all, Elisha stood in faith. Stood in faith even though he was surrounded. And I want to say this. We need to see the tough times in our life as an opportunity for growth. We need to see those times where things aren't going so sweet as, you know what, this is a time for me to grow. It's an opportunity, it's a door that can lead us into something more better, that's good English, isn't it? More wonderful. And it takes courage to walk through that door. It takes courage to stand up and say, you know what, I'm not going to let this just discourage me. I'm going to keep walking in faith. I'm going to keep doing what God has called me to do. And that our hearts can even see that those that are surrounding us, the invisible army of God, is with us and hedging us in and pushing us forward. You know, Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, I propose that when we go through those tough times, it's like this. You remember In the Gospels where Jesus goes up the mount and is transfigured. He has that amazing encounter with God and James and John are with him and Peter, and they see on the mountain the glorious transfiguration of Jesus and in the company of Moses and Elijah. And we all yearn for that experience, don't we? Now, as Christians, in our Christianese, talk about the mountaintop experiences. That moment where we just feel like we're in the presence of God. We just know, and it's almost tangible, that God is with us. And it was human nature that Peter said, hey, Lord, let's build some tabernacles. We want to stay here. We want to just bask in this glory. We just want to, you know, we just want this to go on and on and on. It's human nature, isn't it? To desire that and yearn for that. But Jesus' command was, no, we've got to go back down the mountain. We've got to go back into that place. Why? Well, obviously, there's a couple of reasons. One is that there were people there. That's where the people were. That's where that they needed to minister. But you see, you ever noticed in a practical sense, and I like to look at things in a practical sense, is that if we're going to go from one mountaintop experience to another mountaintop experience, guess what? God didn't make us with wings to fly straight across. You actually got to go down the mountain, through the valley, then back up again. Who's ever been a PNG? Yeah. Who's ever had to walk through the bush? I went to Solomon Islands a number of years ago. Actually, my daughter was with me, and we went to St. Isabella Island, which is just above Honiara. It was about a three-hour boat trip, and they'd organised us to go and visit this remote village up in the mountains, and it was about a 10-hour walk, a great time of exercise. And the journey consisted of, let me get this right, there was one, two, three. Yeah, it was on the third mountaintop that we got to this village after 10 hours. And it was hard going. You know, the weather was humid, our backpacks, you know, about 20 kilo in our backpack. The tracks weren't always, you know, sealed and tarred and curbed and gutted and all that sort of stuff. I remember there was one track, I don't know if you remember this, Natalia, where we're going, and basically, literally right there was the sheer of the mountain, and probably about another foot away, was it just kept going straight down. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, where am I taking these guys? Because there was about five of us, and I thought, you know, if any of us slip down there, we're not going to be able to chase them down there. And then one bloke had ants crawling all over him just from the vines that were coming down the side of the mountain. But you know what we found? You know what I learnt from that I often put into practical experience? It's this. When you get to the mountain, there's a brilliant view. To the top of the mountain, there's always a brilliant view, isn't there? You know, you can look around, you can see far, you know, on a clear day, you can just see out into the ocean and a couple of the other islands. It's a beautiful view. And you just think, yeah, that was worth it. But the climb to get up there is hard, it's tough. And you just got to keep going, don't you? You just can't stop there, you got to keep going. But the other thing I found was that when you're actually going down the mountain and you get to the valley, you know what lies at the bottom of those valleys? Clear, refreshing water. There was always a stream, a refreshing stream that you could just sit in and be refreshed, take a nice fresh drink and just relax for a while. And I've always thought about that as I've gone up and down in life. You know, that we can yearn for the top of the mountains, you know, the beautiful views and all that, but sometimes we've got to look for the good things in the valleys as well. You know, Psalm 23 goes on to say that he has prepared a banquet for us in the midst of our enemies. You know, often our focus is on the enemies instead of, Lord, what is here? What is here in this moment? What is here at this time that I can feast on, that I can nourish myself, ready to prepare myself for the next part of the journey? You can call me an optimist. But that's the way I like to see it. That those times where we just think, what's going on right here? What am I doing wrong? Lord, why is life like this at the moment? Can I ask you to shift your focus? Instead of asking why, say, Lord, where are you taking me in this? Where is the banquet that you have set before me? Open my eyes to see the invisible army that is surrounding, that is there, your hand of protection, your ability to just continually speak into my life in these moments. You know, James says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Maturity, completeness, fullness, everything that we desire doesn't come in a nice package tied up with a pretty bow. It actually comes through trial and tribulation. Why? Because we learn to grow. We learn to persevere. We learn to focus on the right things instead of worry and ponder on those things that will distract us. You know, did you know you can't have mountains without valleys? The two coincide together. The presence of a mountain determines that the valley is going to be right there beside it. To move from one victory to the next often means we go through a valley experience. If there's no valleys, then there's no mountains. If there's no trials, there's no triumphs. If there's no battles, then there's no victories. Amen? Here's a saying worth remembering. If you don't get slapped in the face by a dead fish once in a while, then you're probably floating along with them. You see, the difference is what will we focus on? The present situation that we observe through our natural eyes, or is it with the eyes of faith that sees the armies of the Lord that are with us and surrounding us and protecting us? In the natural, we can think that we're outnumbered. In the natural, we can think that we're on the brink of defeat. The weak in faith will panic and run. But I say to you, as the people of God, will you not embrace those times of suffering along with the triumphs? Will you not fight the good fight in order to take hold of the victory? Will you not be courageous even when you face your adversary? In the words of Paul in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, then who can be against us? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, God is for you, my friend. And so, if God is for you, who can be against you? No one. No one is the answer. You know, what can the enemy do? He can destroy this flesh. But he can't destroy who you are. The Bible says, don't fear those that can destroy the flesh. Fear the one that can destroy your flesh and also your soul. If God is for us, who can be against us? And we might think Paul just wrote that just in casualness, just as, you know what, I'll just write this because it sounds good. No. He wrote that, if we read back through chapter 8 in Romans, we actually see that he writes that in a time when he was facing a great deal of trial. Actually, let's just go back a little bit. In Romans 8, 18, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul was in a situation that was probably, I would say, something that we have personally never been in. Paul faced many things in his ministry life. He gives a whole account of it. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. People wanted to take his life. He was abandoned. He was persecuted. I don't know if any of us have faced that. Yes, we've faced our hard times. But has our faith ever brought us to that point where people actually want to take our life for it? And yet Paul writes this, that in the midst of this, his present sufferings are nothing compared to what is ahead in eternal glory. And this is where he writes it in context. This is where he writes those words, if God is for us, then who can be against us? If we go on to verse 28, in Romans 8, he says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? My friends, Paul had such a confidence in God. We see that evident in his declarations throughout chapter 8. If we keep reading, he says, we are more than conquerors. He says, who can separate us from the love of God? All these mighty declarations, proclamations of faith. And in a sense, he was saying it to himself as well as writing it for the encouragement of others. If God is for me, who can be against me? These enemies that surround me? No way. But God is for me. God is for me. If there's one thing you can take home from this morning, it's just that affirmation of that simple statement, God is for me. And you know what? It's not based on our performance, but on our position. Can I say that again? God is for me, not based on my performance, but on my position. Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead so that I could be raised to life along with him. I know a majority of you here understand that. Maybe there's some here this morning that are still trying to figure out what this Christian walk is like. What do I need to do for God to be pleased with me? Maybe you're going through a tough time and you're thinking to yourself, why is God punishing me? But I want to declare to you this morning, God is for you. God is for you. He has lifted you up because of who you are. It's not based on your performance. It's based on the fact that you are a child of God. When you gave your heart to Christ, when you declared faith in the living God, when you took upon the work of the cross in an act of repentance and seek God's forgiveness in that, you were raised to the heavens. That's who you are. That's who you are. You can even say that to yourself right now. That's who I am. I am a child of God. I am raised in the heavens. I am the head, not the tail. God has put me at the front, not the back. God has made me to rise above my circumstance, not to be stuck under my circumstance. You ever heard someone say, when you ask them how you're going, they go, well, under the circumstances. Well, try this next time. Ask them, well, what are you doing under there? Don't let your circumstance dictate who you are. You listen to the Word of God. You listen to His promises in what He has called you to do. Paul had such confidence in this when he was writing the book of Romans. Elisha had such confidence in this when he was surrounded by his enemies. He knew who he was. He knew he was called by God. And we see this right throughout the Bible. I just want to finish up by saying this. The armies of Aram surrounded Elisha. They surrounded him and were looking to do harm. They were looking to capture him and bring him back to the king of Aram. But he stood firm. He stood firm in faith. He stood firm because he learned from Elijah what it was to face his enemies and see God come through. So we not only have the example of Elisha, we have the example of Paul, we have the example of many others in the Bible that we can look to and get encouragement from. And I want to leave you with one last scripture, and it comes from 2 Corinthians 4:8-18. It says this: "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.'" Do you get that? "I believed, therefore I have spoken." You know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is your confession today? What is your confession in your situation, in your circumstance? It's what I've been alluding to. "I believe, therefore I have spoken. And since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. And all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix," get this, guys, "so we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Praise the Lord. The eyes of faith. The Bible also says we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, all these scriptures start to take on meaning when we look for the practical application of them in our everyday life. When we see ourselves just pushing forward, persevering, not only glorifying God on the mountaintops, but giving glory to God in the valleys. That's what our Christian walk's like. But I want to say to you, embrace it. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Don't see it as hardship. See it as opportunity. And that's why God brings us together as family, so that we don't have to do it alone. You're surrounded not only by the invisible army, but you're surrounded, I know in my heart, even though I don't know every one of you, I know that you are each surrounded by people who care about you and want to see the best come out of you. Amen. Amen. We might just allow some time for prayer right now, if that's all right, Trev. Yeah, just, you know, sometimes we can think, you know, this message didn't really mean much to me because I'm actually in a pretty good place at the moment. Yeah, you know, everything I touch is turning to gold. And if that's the case, praise the Lord. You know? But life has its way of going up and down. And I just want to allow time right now for prayer, that if you sense that this word has spoken to you and there's just something resonating in your heart, maybe just to stand where you are and just as an act of faith, just say, "Lord, my eyes are on you." It might even be a case where I'll pray, "Lord, open the eyes so that we can see the invisible army that is with us.